Well, I, a lot of time.
I wanted to find out from you, after all these years and not ever asking you this, how you first got involved with the farm workers.
Okay, well, when I was president, state president of Churchwoman United, it was part of our work, part of our budget, that we would give a certain amount to help in the migrant ministry, as it was known then. And of course, Churchwoman United was a part also of the Council of Churches, and the Council of Churches was very interested in the migrant work. But if you recall at that time, that was before the farm workers program started. So a lot of the women were naturally involved with migrant work because of Vacation Bible School, and they used to give cars. They called them the harvesters. Remember that?
I do.
Called them the harvesters. And they used to collect blue chip stamps for that and present Chris with the harvester, and they felt very good about that. I don't know how often they did that. They think maybe every other year or every 2 or 3 years or something of that nature. Of course, the farm workers program hadn't started at that time, and when the strike began in Delano, there was a lot of controversy amongst Churchwoman United whether they should back that type of program or not. It was okay when we could give them something and we were not involved politically or maybe sociologically. You know, to be removed from it and just be able to give kind of paternalistic in a sense. Then it was okay. So when the program started of the grape workers deciding to organize it in Cesar Chavez, beginning to come into the picture more strongly, and of course Chris becoming involved. The appeal came first, I think, to the Council of Churches for backing from the churches. Now, I recall the first time that Cesar was brought into a Council of Churches meeting, and this was very interesting. We were all sitting around a big table. I forget where it was. It was either in Northern California or at one of the hotels by the airport where we had met.
This would be the California Council?
The California Council of Churches. And I remember so well the Episcopal bishop. I wished I could remember his name, but he was bishop of the San Joaquin area. Rather heavy-set man. Probably in his late 50s, maybe around 60. He was wearing a huge cross. I remember that so well because it was brought up. Chris came in and he brought up the idea of the churches backing Cesar. And there was a lot of real tension in the room. And Cesar was waiting outside in the hallway. And who was the young lady?
Dolores Huerta.
Dolores Huerta was with him outside. Carol Schuster, I think, was president at that time. And I was vice president because I was Churchwoman United president, so I was just naturally put into that position as vice president. But I was really startled because all the ministers were very negative in their response, and especially the Episcopal bishop. Maybe it's a good one, I don't know his name. But I can remember him holding this cross and saying, "Do you know that if we get involved in this, that it means that we will be losing a lot of money from our churches? You can't expect the people in my diocese to back that type of activity because they're all farmers and growers. And probably because I was so idealistic. I don't know. But I was just really astonished at, you know, the statement that money was the first priority. That was the first thought, you know, that came. And as he was handling his cross, you know, and I thought, gee, what a contrast, you know. Here he is holding the cross of Christ, and the first priority is we lose money, we lose members, we lose the wealthy people. And I think I spoke in favor of it, probably was the only one in favor at that council meeting.
You know when that was?
Where that was?
No, when?
When that was? That would have been 1967 or 68, or when did it first start?
65.
65. Maybe 66. Maybe I don't know when it was. It near the beginning anyway. I can't quite recall.
What years were you president?
See, I was president from 66 to about 70. So it was right in that time period. But I can still see that bishop sitting there. I can still see him sitting there holding that cross. And that was such a paradox to me. And then Chris brought in Caesar, and he was so gracious. And such a humble man, you know, for all the things that he was doing. And, gee, I looked at him, you know, and I remember one thing he said. He said, you know, I still have a little hand, what are those things that they used to make in vacation Bible school, where you put your hand on it, you know?
In
clay,
like,
or
plaster.
Plaster, yeah, like plaster.
Plaster of Paris.
Plaster of Paris, and they made it, yeah, made a hand. Or a heart, or something of that nature. And I can remember him saying, I still have that. And I recall how important the work of Church Women United was, and the Council of Churches, in sending people to help in the area, Delano area, I guess it was called, Delano Bakersfield area, during the summertime, vacation Bible church school, whatever they call it, vacation Bible school, vacation church school. But I remember him saying that, you know, and I thought to myself, gee, here's a man that has really been touched by the church, and yet the church was hesitating to allow him to help his people reach their potential, doing something besides being paternalized. People wanting to reach their own potential, wanting to do something for themselves, seeing the need to for them to get out of their poverty and their predicament of being isolated, the way they were isolated. And my heart really went out. I just, you know, I really felt the closeness. I really felt, well, as I listened both to Chris and to Caesar, I really felt God's Holy Spirit. And I just couldn't help but be, want to be part, you know, of that movement. So from that place, I went back to our church women, our board meeting, and I talked with them and discussed it. And of course, we're not all in accord with what they were doing, because they felt it was a political movement. And but I felt it was a spiritual movement. I definitely felt it was a spiritual movement and a movement that was right. Something that was so important to a class of people that were really disenfranchised, I felt. That was very important. And that And it hurt me badly to see women who really felt that getting involved in something like that was so politically motivated that the church should stay out of it. But then there were women that backed it too. So, but they still continued. They still wanted to give, naturally, because they felt that they were people that had needs. So they felt that the material things were important to give them, in the sense of still, you know, collecting blue chip stamps to give them a harvest. You know, see, they were far removed. But I can't say, you know, I can't say that the women were insensitive because that's all they did, because they really did love them, but they had their own way of loving them. It's not that they, you know, were going to turn their backs on the migrants. But
it was a very new idea to support a union, to mm-hmm. support a strike.
Yes.
It's a really new idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's my recollection that you participated in the march to Sacramento in 1966 at Easter time, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I remembered that you had. So you jumped right in mm-hmm. real early.
Mm-hmm. That was a highlight for me, and the one thing that I did remember so well was, I think we stopped by a river, either for something to drink or for lunch or something of that nature. And then I saw these three young men carrying these crosses. You know, they were carrying three crosses. And, of course, the march, there were so many people from all kinds of religious groups. And not just religious groups, but from, you know, the universities, college young people, women, ministers, Roman Catholic, Protestant, so on. And I remember coming back to my church and saying that the impression was so, so deep, because here it was Good Friday, the day before Easter, and it was a combination of a spiritual mission, a social mission, something that was, it was really a movement of the Spirit of God, and you know, you really felt that you were doing God's work, that God's Spirit was there. I remember coming back and talking to my church about it, and noticing the looks of horror on some people, the look of despair and horror. You would do that? You'd march with those people? And then talk about it being a spiritual movement. And then I remember going to Delano and sitting down and having breakfast with the mayor and the city manager.
You're part of a delegation?
Part of a delegation. And I remember so well the city manager saying to me, "Mrs. Levin, I just can't understand how a nice lady like you would dirty your skirts amongst these people. Do you know that they are adulterers, that they use very bad language, that they drink, you know, they're drunkards?" And he took out pictures and showed me pictures of how awful some of these people were, and how the police had come and arrested them, and showed me pictures of arrests of some of the migrant workers. And he says, "How could you dirty your skirts amongst people like that?" Well, I said to him, "You know, I happen to be a member of a church that's in an upper-class neighborhood. A lot of wealthy people there, a lot of well-educated people there. But I also happen to know that some of them are adulterers, and some of them use pretty foul language. A lot of them cheat." I said, the only difference is that they have nicer clothes, drive nicer cars, live in nicer houses. But they had a chance in life to do something with their lives." And I said, "But they're the same inside." He just looked at me, and, you know. And then I asked him, I said, do you think the church should be involved with these people? And he said, of course the church should be involved. And I said, well, how would you have the church involved? And he says, we can bring them baskets of food at Christmas and Thanksgiving. And he looked so sincere. I remember he was quite a short man. And he just looked at me, you know, so pathetically, as if to say, how could you get involved in something like this? Don't you know that most of them, it's a pro-communist movement. That was the one thing. It's a pro-communist movement. And we looked up Chris's background. And we found out through the University of California or something. I don't know. Did he go to the University of California?
No, he went. Chris went to the University of Pennsylvania. You're talking about Chris?
I don't know if it was Chris or somebody he mentioned, but he said that we looked up the backgrounds of some of these people, and you know there is a movement out of the University of California. He was saying that's a communist movement, and they're backing this group. And he threw Chris in there somehow. So that's really strange because I've known that man for a long time, and I've never known him to have any communist backing, or you know, and be involved in any communist movement. And I said, beside that, I think he went to Princeton Theological Seminary as an ordained minister. He kind of looked at me. Well, that was quite a time. And then I think after we met at breakfast with some of the city officials. And then we had a meeting of the commission, the California Commission, at one of the churches. And
was this for the migrant ministry?
For the migrant ministry. Mm-hmm. And some of the ministers were invited. And I think I recall the minister from the Baptist Church being there. He was invited to attend the commission. And the reason I remember that, because I'm Baptist, mm-hmm. American Baptist, and he was sitting there, and he said, how could you get involved with these people? Do you know that their cars are full of cans of beer? I thought, well, does that mean because people drink beer that they can't be involved in the church can't be involved with helping them in a movement to do something to lift their standard of living? It was also confusing to people, religious people, Christian, so-called Christian people. It was so confusing. They would confuse drinking beer or their whole value system was so confused that it was really difficult for me to even feel that that I, you know, wanted to even be involved with the Baptists anymore. I shouldn't say that. I take that off.
I won't include that.
No, but it just made me sick. You know, it was nauseating. Really, it was nauseating to me. At the same time, I had to remember that people were so used to their own value structure and their own way that they felt, quote, was Christian and churchy, and that I had to remember, I had to love them just the same. You know, their behavior may not have been what I felt was the right behavior at that time, but it could be maybe because they were maybe not because I don't really know how to express it, but because I guess anger wasn't too bad to have, because you get angry at them when you think, you know, why don't people see what you see? But at the same time, you have to remember that maybe you have to help them come to a new perception or a new perspective in life.
On the national level, how did the support for the UFW develop?
On the national level, I happened to serve on several of the national committees at that time, and we had one special committee on the national level that naturally was there were women maybe of a different caliber that had been more involved in social activities and political activities. And that's why they were, you know, on the national level. And they were naturally Baptist. They felt that it was a very fine thing, and it was the thing to do. So it was much easier on the national level. And Southern California, you know, is a conservative, very conservative area. And a lot of support did come from the San Joaquin Valley. And so there was concern, you know, natural monetary concern, unfortunately. Priorities were confused, and it was very difficult for some people to change. It was a social revolution, and it was difficult for people to change.
What about the farm worker movement attracted you? Because you remained a supporter for a long time, and
I think
took
the
a lot
spiritual
of
quality. I can remember attending some of the union meetings, and they'd have a priest to give a meditation or devotional. And I can remember Caesar saying in one a very small meeting of church workers, "I need the church. I need the support of the church. I need the prayers of Christian people. We can't do this without God. We can't do this without the support of Christian people who have faith." And I just felt it was a spiritual movement. I felt that it was biblical. I felt it was part of, was like the, I guess, the Book of Amos. I can't recall now, but I can remember parts of the Old Testament where some of the prophets talked about, you know, the need to be involved in helping poor people. And of course, the verse in Luke that Jesus, I guess he quotes it from the Old Testament, "I have come to heal the brokenhearted," to, I can't recall the verse, isn't that terrible? But you know the verse I mean.
Yeah.
So the captives freed, right.
Free. Mm-hmm. Which was quoted
give
from
sight
Isaiah.
Quoted from Isaiah, right. "Give sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted." That verse, and I used to remember Chris saying that verse in Jia. I mean, every time he would read that verse, it would just ring my heart, and I thought, here's a guy, you know, that is so involved in actually carrying that verse out. And I just felt God's spirit through it all, and I felt that it was the right thing to do.
For you, what was the role of the ministry and of Chris as the director of the ministry in facilitating your own involvement?
Would you say that again?
As you think back about your involvement with the farm workers, mm-hmm. what role did the farm worker ministry and Chris as the director of it play in making that link possible for you personally and also for other CWU people?
I think it was a very important role. We would always have Chris come and speak to the Church Women United, and of course I remember Chris, I remember working with him on the national level too, on Migrant Commission, National Migrant Commission. And I think that he was the influence. I think Chris was the strong influence and the catalyst between the farm workers and the churches. I think if it wasn't for him, that probably a lot of the Christian people would not have responded. But I think his leadership was so strong, and his spiritual influence was so strong that he was definitely a great influence. It was an influence in my life.
Yeah, mine too.
Definitely. And you know, like we use that term charisma. He had it when it came to the spiritual qualities. I know sometimes there was a lot of anger, sometimes there was a lot of misunderstanding, but I think it was a just anger. I think he helped me see what real justice was. I think that Chris had a deep understanding of true justice, the meaning of true justice. And I can remember how people would call for reconciliation a lot of times. And of course, I felt reconciliation was very important too. But sometimes you can't have reconciliation without real confrontation. People have to know. You can't just, it's like forgiveness is important. It's very important to forgive. But you also have to be confronted with the reason for forgiveness. If you just blindly say, let's just forgive and forget, it's not true forgiveness unless you realize what the hurt has been. And the migrant people had been hurt for a long time by all of us, by those of us who knew that there was this kind of existence, but maybe did not want to get too deeply involved. It was okay to give your money and to give the blue chip stamps and to give, baskets of food and clothing. That was okay. But when it came to really getting involved in such a way that it would cost maybe your reputation or losing members in your church or losing members of the council of churches or whatever, then you really get involved in true forgiveness and true justice. You can't, it's like the forgiveness that takes place in history. You have to allow people to reach their potential in life, and probably the forgiveness would be on their part that we kept them down so long. We didn't allow them to reach all the potential, and that we were unjust in our society.
Loris, I want to get down exactly the correct name of the jurisdiction over which you were president during those mm-hmm. years. It was Southern California and Nevada and yeah. Arizona.
I don't think Arizona was in it.
Just
no,
Nevada.
I think it was, yeah, California. Southern California and Nevada. Mm-hmm.
It is almost 20 till 4.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to make you late for your next appointment. You have really, you just homed in on all the things I had written down that I wanted to ask you about.
Oh, really?
Good. Yes. It's amazing.
Okay.
Most people don't manage to do that. Would there be any other things that you haven't mentioned that you would especially want me to know, especially about my theme, which is the impact of the farmworker movement on the church?
Mm-hmm. Impact, positive or negative?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Unfortunately, I think, being an American Baptist in Southern California, I think it had a very negative effect on me. In the way that I was probably, not that I wasn't ostracized for taking a stand for the farm workers movement, but I was looked at as being radical, far out liberal, ostracized maybe from certain. Oh, I can remember. Yes, one time I was invited to speak at a Southern California American Baptist Women's thing, and the lady that introduced me said, said to me, "We don't want you to talk too long, and don't talk about those farm workers," and that kind of thing. And a lot of people, where I used to be invited to speak or lecture at something, they'd say, "Well, we don't want her because she's behind a lot of radical movements." Of course, I was involved with civil rights too at that time, so. I think that it had a negative effect. The positive effect would be not that my theology changed, my theology always remained the same, but so many new perceptions, so much new meaning to my theology. And new meaning spiritually for me. New priorities in my life. And new philosophy. I think my whole Christian being, I think, was changed in new directions, new goals in life. And I think for people, there were some people, that accepted me, and I would bring out these things on a scriptural basis, and then they'd say, "Oh, that's fine, because, you use the Bible for that." That was okay for me. But I do think it did help people to see that there was more. See, that people always got people had the idea that the secular and the world should not invade the church. And the church was a closed community. And I think the positive effect is that we found out that we can't exist in a world, we can't exist by ourselves, that we do influence society. And we do have to understand society, we do have to understand history, we have to understand the social movements and what they mean and what people are saying and what the needs of people are. And where God is needed. And it opened up a lot of new meaning for me, and I think for a lot of people, because as people began to see this, it opened a meaning for people. It was a time when people could either progress in their life or regress. And I think the people that were open to what was happening in society made real progress in spiritual growth. Okay, for people that shut that out, they regressed.
Did you lose any members here?
Oh, yes. 100.
100?
Mm-hmm. We started a new church on the peninsula, Conservative Baptist Church.
100 out of how many?
Probably 500. Maybe 150. And we were always labeled as that liberal church.
Of course, the position that both you and Vince on civil rights matter, I'm sure didn't help matters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or did help matters.
It helped.
Winnowing. Winnowing.
I can remember a wonderful experience I had in Atlanta that Coretta King had invited us to her house. It was about 13 of us. She invited us for dinner at her house. And we were there on a national meeting for what they could do, a session of church meeting. And this was a month before Martin Luther was killed, was happening. And it was the most wonderful experience, being in her home for dinner, and we sat around the table, and she told us a lot of things that happened and everything. And it was so difficult for me to bring the experience to my own church, and even some of my very close friends, or even my family. That I would be involved with such things. Well, that's one thing, too. I remember that after the march to Sacramento, that in Northern California with my family, they were shocked.
Your parents?
Oh, yes, yeah, and my in-laws, and they just thought, how could you do such a thing? You know, what's wrong with you? You know, what's happening to you? You used to be such a nice Christian lady. Not the way we brought you up.
The spirit gets a hold of us.
The spirit gets you, right. Uh-huh. Right.
I really appreciate you taking time. I'm awfully sorry I was late getting here. But those things once in a while happen. And
wish we had a long time to just talk about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. I wish we had more time, too. I knew that you have a busy schedule. I really appreciate this.
Well, if there is anything else...